Patrick Hutzel from Intensive Care at Home and Intensive Care Hotline. And today's topic is, my dad's been in ICU ventilated with a tracheostomy for 6 months. How long does it take to set up intensive care at home? That's what we want to talk about today. I want to welcome you to the live stream. And I want to thank you for your support and attendance. Now, before we dive into today's topic, just a couple of housekeeping issues. Please type your questions into the chat pad. I'll get to them. Please keep them on today's topic if you can. If they are not on today's topic but are obviously intensive care related, please type them in and I will get to your questions at the end of once we talked about today's topic. Just quickly, what makes me qualified to talk about today's topic? I have worked in intensive care as a critical care nurse for over 20 years in three different countries. I have worked as a nurse unit manager in intensive care for over 5 years. And I have been consulting and advocating for families in intensive care since 2013. I also own and operate Service Intensive Care at Home, where we provide intensive care services at home for long-term, predominantly long-term ventilated adults and children, but also for other medically complex patients that are at risk of going back to intensive care and they need an intensive care nurse 24 hours a day. So that's a little bit about my background. We've been operating intensive care at home now for since 2014. And we are predominantly in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane in Australia, but we're also helping families in the US to get home where we can to set them up with some other providers or just consult them how to get home, or we consult them while they're in intensive care or in LTAC in the US, how to get off the ventilator so we can almost provide a second opinion. So one way or another, we can help you, whether it's with direct home care services or with consulting and advocacy. So let's go back to and dive into detail into today's topic. My dad's been in ICU for 6 months, ventilated with a tracheostomy. How long does it take to set up intensive care at home? So this was a question we had from a reader a while ago. And this is a question we get all the time. It's not a unique question. It's not a one-off question. We get similar questions all the time. You know, I could replace my dad with my mum, or with my spouse, with my sister, with my brother, with my child. You know, as a matter of fact, we will be doing a live stream at some point just about ventilated children to go home. You know, we've done lots of pediatrics as well. And yeah, I will do another live stream just about children going home on ventilation with tracheostomy specifically in the near future. So let's look at today's question. So, you know, many patients in intensive care stay on a ventilator for long times to come. The longest I've seen when I was working in intensive care has probably been up to 2 years. It's probably the longest that I've seen. You know, just because someone is ventilator dependent with a tracheostomy doesn't mean they have to be stuck in ICU, or even worse, it doesn't mean that ventilation has to be stopped and that life support needs to be stopped and life support needs to be withdrawn. It doesn't mean that at all. But a lot of intensive care units position it that way, saying, oh, you look, your mum, your dad, your spouse will never come off the ventilator, so therefore they won't have, quote unquote, any quality of life. And therefore, it's, quote unquote, in their best interest to stop life support and let them die. I've yet to find out why letting someone die if they can live is in their best interest. I've yet to find out how that can be in their best interest. But in any case, if you are in a situation like that, there is a solution for you and for your family. Because with the service, with our service intensive care at home, you can actually go home. And today I want to look specifically at how long will it take to set up intensive care at home services. So very important to set the scene here in terms of, you know, if your loved one is in intensive care and has 24-hour, you know, support, 24-hour one-to-one nurse, 24-hour doctors, 24-hour respiratory therapists in the US, you will need a similar type of arrangement for a home care setting, because at the end of the day, you need to replicate the intensive care treatment and the intensive care nursing care you're getting in ICU, and that needs to be replicated at home, because otherwise it wouldn't be safe, right? So therefore, the first thing you need to think about logistically is, how can I replicate what happens in intensive care, but we need to replicate that at home? You know, for lack of a better term, we need to help you set up a mini ICU at home, you know. And hi, Modema, nice to see you again. You know, and you need to think about the logistics, but we can do the thinking for you, because we've done it so many times and we know what needs to happen for someone to go from ICU to home, right? So, therefore, besides the equipment, you know, from most likely a hospital bed, ventilator, suction machine, monitor, medications, spare tracheostomy tubes, emergency equipment such as tracheostomy dilators, face mask, resuscitation bag, dressings, you know, and you always need two of each. You know, if you're going home with one ventilator, you need a second one as a backup. If you're going home with one suction machine, you need a second one as a backup. If you're going home with a monitor, you need a second one as a backup, because the reality is that equipment fails, you know, and especially when it comes to life support, you can't be just relying on one piece of equipment. Then next, we talked about equipment. Next, you need 24-hour intensive care nursing at home. So why do you need 24-hour intensive care nursing? Well, again, you need to replicate what is happening in intensive care. You need to replicate that in a home care environment, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be intensive care at home. Modema, you're asking, it sounds overwhelming, and you're saying, what about power outages? Yeah, they're a very relevant question. Does it sound overwhelming? Look, I agree that it's possibly overwhelming, but keep in mind, we are talking about patients that have been in ICU for weeks or months on end. That in and of itself is overwhelming. Most families would be overwhelmed by going in and out of ICU every day. They would be overwhelmed by potentially being locked out at the moment. Still, there are still many ICUs that have visited limitations around visiting hours because of COVID, right? But that is overwhelming too. So think about, once someone is at home, you know, that can be stressful too, but once things are settled, where would you rather be? Would you rather be in ICU, or would you rather be at home? You know, and that's why a specialist service like ours exists, to take the complexity out of it. You know, we want to take the complexity out of it. It is complex, don't get me wrong. I would be lying to you if I would say this is easy. You know, it's not easy. It's even for us as a specialist service, it's not easy, you know. But we still make it happen nevertheless. And because we've done it so many times, you know, we think we can do it quicker, and we can, you know, advise people step by step. You know, the challenge here, Modema, is we have solutions, but we don't have a quick fix. Unfortunately, in situations like, you know, what people are experiencing, we have solutions, but we don't have a quick fix. We don't have a magic bullet. We can only break things down step by step. That's the best we can do. Okay, so then, so we talked about equipment. We talked about nursing care, and I will talk about nursing care in a bit more detail in a minute. You also need a medical practitioner, a doctor overseeing it. You need allied health, such as an OT, an occupational therapist. You need a physical therapist or a physiotherapist. So you need a number of things. Here in Australia, you need an NDIS support coordinator, even better, an NDIS specialist support coordinator. You know, there's a number of moving pieces that you will need. And most importantly, you will need someone paying for it. And I assume anyone watching that would not want to pay for it. But bear in mind, there will be someone paying for it. So why am I saying this? A, this business model has been in place now in many countries, including Germany, Austria, Switzerland, France, and now here in Australia. Initially, people were saying, whether it was in Germany, where I first worked with this in this environment, but then also coming to Australia, initially people were saying, well, nobody will pay for this, and you know, nobody will be forking out a dollar for such a service. And I always said, well, that's not true. The service is invaluable. And there is, more importantly, from an economic perspective, there's a business model in there. Now, I don't want to keep focusing on the business model because I really want to focus on the quality of life, or in some situations, quality of end of life for patients and families at home. You know, that is way more valuable. Quality of life and quality of end of life is way more valuable than any dollar figure that people can put to this service. Okay, so the value of the service, I believe, cannot be measured in monetary terms. It can only be measured in comfort for patients, comfort for families, you know, less stress, less hassle with hospitals, yeah, hospitals get paid, of course they do, but exactly, and that's exactly my point, Modema, that because hospitals are paid, therefore, if you can cut the cost, which is what we're doing, right, because we're cutting the cost of an intensive care bed, that's why there's a business model in there. You know, initially we started out saying, well, we can cut the cost of an ICU bed by around 50%. That's probably still accurate, but cost for us has gone up for sure. But cost for hospitals has also gone up with COVID. Okay, I still think we're cutting the cost of an ICU bed by around 50%. And more importantly, we're freeing up an ICU bed that is in high demand. We're freeing up an ICU bed that is in very high demand. So it's a win-win situation. So therefore, the business model is there, right? So once you've got the logistics out of the way, once you know someone can do it like us, like intensive care at home, then you can work on the funding side of things. Doesn't matter whether it's the NDIS paying here in Australia, whether it's the TAC, the Transport and Accident Commission, paying here in Victoria, or the DVA, the Department of Veteran Affairs, or private health insurances. And it doesn't really matter whether it's here or in the US or in Canada or in the UK, no matter where you watch, where you get this information. There's a business model in there. And if you can go back to someone paying for healthcare and you can say, hey, I will be cutting your cost by 50%, surely someone is going to listen. No question about that. That's how we got started here, by people, you know, starting to cut cost, put a service in place, creating a win-win situation. Will the health funds or the NDIS or whoever is paying for it, will they jump on it right away? Maybe not, but they have jumped on it many times. Okay, so yes, you will see obstacles by trying to go home. There's no question about that. But picture this, if your dad can't come off the ventilator in an ICU, there's more obstacles around that than going home and setting it up properly. Okay, so how long does it take typically? It really depends a little bit. So, you know, once the funding is organized, you know, it can take a few months, don't get me wrong. It depends on, you know, who you're talking to, but we've done anything from 4 days to 4 months. Okay, it often hinges on the funding, how quickly the funding can be organized. Sometimes it also hinges on location. Okay, if you are in a remote area far away from metropolitan areas, again, it doesn't matter whether it's here in Australia or in the UK or in the United States, the further away you are from a metropolitan area, the longer it'll take to set up this service because you won't have enough qualified staff in a remote area. And you won't believe it, but we have had many remote areas here, and sometimes we have even done fly-in, fly-out arrangements for staff. Sometimes we have staff commute 2 or 3 hours to go to a client, but then they do two or three shifts in a row and they stay in a hotel. Okay, we've done all of that. So don't let location discourage you. You know, because I know many of our viewers and prospects and clients, they might be in an ICU in a metropolitan area, but their home is hours away from the metropolitan area and they're wondering, well, how can I pull this off? It can be pulled off, but it's not easy. You know, as I said, we have had fly-in, fly-out arrangements for staff, for some of our clients. That's how complex it can get, but we managed. We managed. You got to select the right staff. That leads me to the next thing. You know, how long does it take to create a team, a stable roster? For example, you know, for a 24-hour intensive care nursing roster at home, you need 9 to 12 staff, I'd say. 12 to be safe. 9 bare minimum, 12 better, because you need to cover for shortfalls, for sick calls, for holidays, vacancy, you know, normal stuff that's happening. You need to be prepared for that. Okay, and I can understand that from your perspective, you want to minimize the number of people that are coming through your home. I get that. But the reality is, you know, the nurses have a life too. The nurses might work in a second job, you know, and it's got to be flexible. The reality is this, that all the staff we employ are qualified to look after a critically ill patient at home. So, you know, I understand how important it is to have the right staff match to the client. It's critical. But sometimes you may not gel with someone straight away, and it might take a little bit of time for them to warm up to you and vice versa. And there might be a perfect fit in the next few months. So there is definitely a little bit of patience involved. You know, you can't just kick someone out after the first shift didn't go well. There's definitely some patience involved in there. It can be very stressful going home as well, you know, because you're dealing with initially strangers in your home, but at least you are at home. And you'll be dealing with strangers in the hospital too, and you're not at home. You have way less control in an ICU than you will at home, right? At home, we can focus on the routine and the day-to-day living that you want and your loved one wants. In an ICU, it'll be up to the ICU to run the ship, right? And that's the advantage of home care. We can work with you to create your routine, to create your quality of life, what you want, to create the activities that you want, right? So that is the main difference. In ICU, people just wither away. Now, we have some clients that, for example, they go to university to a job. As long as their brain is working, you know, they can use a mouth stick to use a computer, they can use eye gaze to use a computer. I know that sounds incredible, but the reality is the alternative is you get stuck in ICU and you'll never get anywhere, or you go home and you make the most out of it. So you'd be surprised what's possible at home. You'd be surprised, but you need to leave the ICU that's just limiting people's quality of life and just treats you as a medical case rather than, you know, when you're going home, we try to treat you as a human. We try to treat you as a human being. Okay, so then how long does it take to create a team? As I said, you need 9 to 12 ICU nursing staff for a 24-hour roster, and you will need a 24-hour roster if your dad is on a ventilator with a tracheostomy. Anything less than 24-hour ICU nursing is putting your loved one's life at risk. And why am I saying that? Well, unfortunately, I am speaking from experience. So we had clients at home that where we were only doing night shifts because there was a limit in funding, and we were only doing night shifts, and was no funding for day shifts, i.e., there was no ICU nurses for patients with tracheostomy and ventilation. One of them was ventilated, two of them only had a tracheostomy. But even if you're not ventilated and you have a tracheostomy, you still need 24-hour intensive care nursing at home. Okay, my point. When we were doing night shift there and we couldn't do the day shifts because there was no funding, we warned the families and we warned the funding bodies saying, look, because there is no day shift, we believe the patients are at risk of dying if no ICU nurse is there during the day. Now, unfortunately, that became a reality fairly quickly. Our warnings were ignored, right? Because they wanted to save money. Three clients lost their lives over it. It's unbelievable. It's almost like a criminal act by ignoring the pleas of health professionals who know what they're talking about, I believe. It's shocking. So that's why you need, but that's why, to my point, that's why you need 24-hour nursing care. Now, what am I? You're asking business model. I also think there's scope within the patient advocacy, intermediary liaison on behalf of families. Yeah, for sure. You see, the liaison nurses or social workers, whoever it is in hospitals, they have an interest in emptying their beds. They have an interest in that. But they often want to do it by getting palliative care involved and by ending someone's life. Right? Dealing with us is way more complex than ending someone's life. Dealing with a family that wants to go home on a ventilator is way more complex than, just saying, oh, let's just stop everything here. Okay. So no matter which way you twist and turn it, it's complex. You think, Modema, you think it's too much of a burden of the family. Yeah, you could argue that, but what about the burden on the family of someone that's been in intensive care for months? What's the burden on the family there? I argue that we have saved families from poverty. I argue that. I argue we have saved families, couples specifically, from a family breakup. Because the stress was so big when they were in ICU, right, that couples. Spouses were close to a family breakup. We have reunited families. We have enabled families to go back to work, to start earning a living again. Right? That's how serious this is. You've got three options. You've got one option is to stay in ICU indefinitely. The next option is to end someone's life. The third option is to go home. Do you want to stay in ICU indefinitely? Do you want to have life support stopped in ICU and your loved one die, or do you want to go home? That was with reference to no funding for daytime care. Not sure what you mean there, Modema. If there's a will, there's a way. And even though it wasn't easy in the beginning when we first started the service, someone eventually started to listen. And if their problem in ICU becomes big enough, meaning they need a bed, someone will listen to you if you have a solution. But you need to present them with a solution. And we are that solution. We are that solution. So, still back to my point. How long does it take to get 24-hour intensive care nursing? Again, it really depends on. It really depends on the location. It really depends on the location. You know, we are having and we had some very difficult locations with fly-in, fly-out arrangements. It took a little bit longer to hire staff. If we have good locations if we have good locations in metropolitan areas, it takes less than 4 to 6 weeks. Sometimes it can take up to 2 months. It really depends on location and on staff availability, but it's doable. But it's not an overnight process, unfortunately, either. And even if we have staff for you to start off with a 24-hour roster next week, there will still be a natural selection process. Some people you gel with, other people you won't gel so much with, you know. But bear in mind, you need 9 to 12 ICU nurses for a 24-hour roster in order to keep everything safe. It's all about safety. And even though we may not find the perfect staff member for you to begin with, we will find a staff member that is safe practitioner, can keep your loved one out of ICU. You know, that is the minimum that we can promise you. You know, and it takes time to warm up to people, it takes time to build rapport, it takes time to build trust, especially in such a sensitive environment, you know. But it can be done. So Morema, you're saying that was with reference to no funding for daytime care and the burden on families. Yeah. Again, is there a burden on families if there's 24-hour ICU nursing at home? Yep, one could argue that. Is there a burden on families if their loved one stays in ICU for 6 months? I'd say absolutely yes. The choice is yours where, you know, which option you take. I've done an interview with one of our clients, Arabella, a couple of years ago. They went home after their 79-year-old dad was in ICU for 12 months. She couldn't be happier being at home on a ventilator with a tracheostomy, 24-hour nursing care. I should link to that here. It's on our podcast at intensivecarehotline.com. And they couldn't be happier. They felt not happy in ICU at all. They felt bullied. They felt like they had no control whatsoever. You know, we were involved in the advocacy process at the time, and I could see why they felt not happy, why they felt belittled, you know, out of control. Now they're at home, they've got a good nursing team, and their father can live. Oh, now we've got a great question from Think Pink. That is a great question. You're asking, how would doctors or nurses see the patient if they're at home? It's more than just ICU nurses needed. Great point. So most of our clients that are going home are fairly stable, right? They often go home with clear medical directives, with a care plan, with goals of care, okay? How can a patient be seen? Can be seen by a doctor coming to the home. They can be seen by telehealth, right? I mean, in this day and age, it's all about telehealth. You know, also we use an app to share clinical information with other stakeholders, right? So in this day and age, seeing patients, evaluating clinical care is not that difficult anymore, right? But you're right that there's other things needed as well in terms of allied health. I spoke about that earlier. I'm not sure whether you were here then. Spoke about allied health, physical therapists, physiotherapists, OTs, occupational therapists, and so forth. And then we've got Patrick here who says, I had COVID this year and my body ached for a week, but I had no issues with my lungs. Figured we would watch some of your assisted links and learn a little bit more about this issue. Dito, okay. Doesn't sound to me like that's today's topic, Patrick. We are talking about long-term intensive care patients on a ventilator going home. I'm not sure whether your question is related to that. But I hope your question, Think Pink, has been answered in terms of you know, who's going to see the patient when at home. But how do the ICU nurses see the patient? As I mentioned now, 24-hour intensive care nursing care, it's 24-hour nursing care, it's a roster just like in ICU. So it's the same concept, just in a different setting. That's all. But it's the same concept. It's intensive care, just with the difference it's at home, and not in a in ICU environment. Does that help? Think Pink. Okay. In terms of overseeing doctors at home in general, who should that be? Well, ideally it's an intensive care specialist or a respiratory therapist. It could be a GP even, but in combination with an intensivist, intensive care specialist, right? So it could be a combination of things, right? Sometimes it's even the hospitals taking charge of it, and you can call a hospital 24 hours a day, right? But we have also used general practitioners on call. We're working with a variety of things. You're asking, what about, just give me a second, what about pharmacy and medications? Are they just on hand, or do you need local pharmacy supplies too? Again, it's probably a mixture of things there for us, Modema, and it's probably a mixture of sometimes the hospitals are supplying medications and sometimes you need to go to the local pharmacist. It's really a combination. It really depends on a number of things. Logistically, it can all be done logistically. Not an easy setup, but absolutely doable. Absolutely doable. So, I hope that helps so far. Are there any other questions to today's topic, or I'm happy to move on to any other questions that you have. If you have a loved one in ICU or any questions related to intensive care at home, shoot away with your questions if you can. I would love to hear what other questions you have. Just type them. Hi, Helene, how are you? What do you think about fentanyl patches for the treatment to dry up overactive saliva glands from misused, overused BiPAP machine? No. I tell you what you should use, Helene, for to dry up overactive saliva glands. There's a medication called glycopyrrolate. That is what should be used. I tell you why no fentanyl. If someone is on BiPAP, they're respiratory compromised already. One of the main side effects of fentanyl is respiratory depression. And the last thing you want for someone that's respiratory compromised is more respiratory depression. So there's other ways to manage saliva for someone on BiPAP. One of the medications, as I said, is glycopyrrolate. I hope that helps. Well, thanks, Modema, for your kind words. I really appreciate everyone that's here, and I appreciate everyone that keeps asking questions, because now is the time to ask questions. I really enjoy doing those live streams and asking questions on air and answering questions on air. Okay, so then, but it's also important, if you have a loved one in intensive care, to plant the seed early. If you think that you want to go home, plant the seed early. Okay, plant the seed early, start talking about it, so the ICU knows that you are thinking outside of the box, right? Because they're not thinking outside of the box. If they think your loved one won't have any quality of life, they will suggest to you to stop treatment. That's not thinking outside of the box. That's thinking of killing someone. And you need to be aware of that. You need to be aware of the dynamics. And you need to do as much research as you can in how intensive care units operate before you going home, so you can be prepared. But the information is all there. You just go to our website, both of our websites, go to intensivecarehotline.com for advocacy for families in intensive care, with tips and tricks and questions answered and podcasts and videos. And go to intensivecareathome.com, where you get all the know-how around how we can help you set up intensive care at home. Do both. And then you'll be good to go. Now, are there any other questions either related to today's topic or not related to today's topic, questions about intensive care? If you have a loved one in ICU, shoot away now with your questions. I would love to answer them. And I will be doing another live stream next week, same time, around 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday night, 6:30 Central Time, 5:30 Mountain Time, 4:30 Pacific Time, 11 a.m. on the Saturday, 10:30 a.m. on the Sunday, 10:30 a.m. on the Sunday here in Sydney, Melbourne time, which is 9:30 in Brisbane. So I can see there's still quite a few people here. I would love to see you next week, but if you have any other questions, please fire away now. Otherwise, I will wrap this up in a minute. And I will see you again next Saturday or next Sunday, depending which time zone you are in. If you found value in this video, give it a thumbs up, subscribe to my YouTube channel, press the notification bell, leave your comments below, your questions below. Let me know what topics I should cover in the live stream, and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Helen, you're asking, is it policy for medication orders to be disclosed to family? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Helen, when we work with clients one-on-one, the first things that I tend to ask is, do you have access to the medical records? And for families to have access to the medical records means they have access to the medication orders. In this day and age, people get access to medical records through a website called MyChart, mychart.org. And through mychart.org, you get a username and a password, and then you should have access to all the medical records, including medications. We review medications online and other results and reports for our clients all the time. So yes, everything needs to be transparent, Helene, assuming we are dealing with a medical power of attorney. You know, always assume that we are dealing with a decision maker from the family, not just with, you know, a friend or someone that doesn't have decision-making power. Right. Now, if you have a loved one in intensive care, go and check out intensivecarehotline.com. Call us on one of the numbers on the top of our website. The numbers are also below this video, in the YouTube description. Or you can send us an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com. I do one-on-one consulting and advocacy with clients. You can book a time with me for a 15-minute free consultation. Obviously, I do charge a fee after the free 15 minutes. Is the mychart.org international? No, the mychart.org is very US specific. However, you know, in other countries, they have different pages. That's all. It's universal. It's just different websites for different countries. That's all. Okay, I want to wrap this up. If there are no other questions, I want to thank you for joining. I want to, Helene, you're saying I was late. Mum's power of attorney, but it was disregarded. Yeah, you see, I'm not an expert on how to get power of attorney. That is not my area of expertise. What I will say, you know, one of the first questions that I'm asking when I get an inquiry, my first question is, are you the power of attorney? Because I can really only help a power of attorney, right? I can't do anything without a power of attorney. You know, if you're telling me my brother is in ICU and I want to help him, but you know, your brother's spouse is the power of attorney and you and the spouse are not on the same page and you want to go in a different direction, there's very little that I can do. I can help someone that is the medical power of attorney, absolutely. Everything else will be difficult. Okay, again, thank you very much for joining and thank you for your support. If you're finding value in this, let other people know as well. Share the video and let other people know about Intensive Care Hotline and Intensive Care at Home. I will talk to you again same time next week. I hope you have a wonderful weekend and take care, all of you. Thank you.